Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Gay rights advocates say the Obama administration's decision to weigh in against California's ban on same-sex marriage is a political game changer. The government's legal brief argues that since domestic partnerships in California offer the same legal rights as marriage, withholding the name marriage, as Proposition 8 did, can only be explained by unjustified prejudice. The California Report's Scott Schaefer has more.
John Lewis and his husband were legally married in California before Prop 8 passed. As legal director of Marriage Equality USA, Lewis wants other same-sex couples in California to have that same right, and he sees the Obama administration's urging the Supreme Court to overturn Prop 8 as historic.
The President of the United States, he is the one person that represents all Americans, and it's hard to overestimate the importance his voice might have with the court.
Gay rights groups and the No on 8 legal team have been urging the federal government to put its thumb on the scales of justice for weeks. They've also helped orchestrate legal briefs in support of gay marriage from Fortune 500 companies and prominent Republicans. But attorney Andrew Puno with the Yes on 8 group ProtectMarriage.com says it reminds him of what happened before the California Supreme Court upheld Prop 8 by a vote of 6-1.
Having big corporations or politicians or, you know, all these different folks filing briefs and taking positions, we saw that before in the California Supreme Court, and it was largely ignored here in California, and I think the Supreme Court is likely to do the same.
Many legal experts agree that the biggest impact these legal briefs will likely have is in the court of public opinion, not on the 9 justices who will ultimately determine the fate of Prop 8 later this year. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
California's judiciary is gradually growing a wee bit more diverse as the years pass. Latinos, for instance, now account for more than 8% of state judges. That's higher than it has been, but given that Latinos constitute nearly 38% of the population, there's a ways to go before the bench looks anything like the population it serves. The disparity is less extreme for other racial groups. Governors appoint most state judges. And in lockstep with yesterday's diversity survey from the Administrative Office of the Courts, Governor Brown's office released his appointment stats for the last year, boasting the first Muslim American judge and the first openly gay justice on the California Court of Appeal. Last but not least, a third of the state's judges are women. That's the same story as on the federal bench. There's a primary election on Tuesday in Los Angeles. Voters face a laundry list of candidates for mayor, but the headline grabber is the big outside money, millions of dollars, pouring into the school board races. It's not that the contenders for mayor aren't serious candidates, but none of them have managed to light up the city's political floorboards. Frank Stoltz covers politics for KPCC in Los Angeles. We asked him to give us the lay of the land.
Voters in L.A. always want to hear about traffic. They always want to hear about potholes. But the city is facing what some describe as a fiscal crisis. There are budget deficits and pension liabilities going forward that could threaten the city's financial stability. And that really is what a lot of folks are worried about, certainly the folks who are going to show up to vote. And interestingly, the candidates have talked a bit about it, but there's been a lot of criticism. They have not offered enough specifics on how to deal with the financial problems.
Does race, and for that matter, ethnicity, play into this election in a big way?
It's probably playing less than it did when Antonio Villaraigosa sought to become the first Latino mayor in modern L.A. history. But race and ethnicity still matter in a city where racial and ethnic groups can often vote as blocs. City Councilman Eric Garcetti, one of the frontrunners, is half Mexican, half Jewish, with an Italian last name. So he's struggling just a bit to grab the Latino voters he needs for his coalition. In fact, the Speaker of the State Assembly, John Perez, who represents downtown L.A., at one point questioned whether Garcetti was Latino. He, by the way, is backing the other frontrunner in the race, city controller Wendy Gruhl. Gruhl is white, but she's playing the ethnic card by touting her work long ago for L.A.'s first black mayor, Tom Bradley. She mentions him repeatedly in campaign appearances. She's also seeking to become the city's first woman mayor. And I should mention Councilwoman Jan Perry, who is African-American and Jewish. Those groups helped elect Bradley back in the 70s and 80s, a harder coalition nowadays. But she has a lot less money than Garcetti and Gruhl, and that's really her big challenge.
Why don't we see a candidate that looks like Antonio Villaraigosa?
Some have suggested that Antonio Villaraigosa and his waning popularity have burned out voters on a Latino candidate for mayor. I don't know if that's particularly true. The job of mayor of Los Angeles isn't necessarily a hugely powerful one, not like the powerful mayors of New York and Chicago. So that may be another reason. At this moment, I should also mention there is a Latino candidate, Emmanuel Pleitez. He's just 30 years old, though, and he's an interesting candidate, raised in poverty, now a high-tech executive, but he does not have much money at all. And Rachel, let me just mention one other candidate in the top tier, at least among the top five, Kevin James, the Republican running in this overwhelmingly Democratic city. He would be the city's first gay mayor, but he doesn't really play the gay card if there's one to be played. He focuses a lot instead on the city's fiscal problems.
So this is a primary election. If no candidate gets more than 50% of the vote, the top two finishers compete in a May runoff. What do you figure is the likelihood of that?
99.9%.
Are you sure?
you never say 100%. But really, Wendy Gruhl and Eric Garcetti are most likely to get into the runoff. The big question is whether the Republican Kevin James or City Councilwoman Perry can knock out one of those and get into the runoff. So few people show up in these municipal primary elections. Upsets are possible. And interest in this election in particular seems very low. At last check, Rachel, less than 15% of vote-by-mail voters had turned in their ballots.
Frank Stoltz, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Rachel.
Frank Stoltz covers politics for KPCC in Los Angeles. We've got a link to his coverage online at our website, californiareport.org. And that's the California Report for Friday, March 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Howard Gelman and Seal Muller. The directors are Paul Lancour and Sarah Bond. Our interns are Gina Shalaba and Guy Maserati. The editing staff includes Dan Brecky, Julia McAvoy, and Kat Snow. We had production help this week from Nina Thorson and Polly Stryker. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children, and URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.